This is a powerful message of today. So my preaching today about the subject is God chained Christ with us. This is a very powerful message. I read that Romans chapter 8. We know that this is the great gospel. So in August 15, 2018, in New York Times, a Catholic believer, his name is Rod Dreher, posted his essay in the religious column. He had left the Roman Catholic Church 12 years ago, and he explained why he left Roman Catholic Church. The main reason he left was the scandal of priest sexual abuse in Catholic Church. He was a journalist, and he interviewed the incumbent priest Tom Doyle. And he realized that the actual sins that the priest had were abominable and disgusting than what he had thought. He left without hesitation for his faith. But he didn't go to Reformed faith, which is our faith, but instead he searched over Orthodoxy, which he read him by the counsel of the Ukrainian-born great godfather. So, interesting point is that when the believers of Roman Catholics reject their faith, not many of them going to Reformed faith. The reason is there is ignorance of the gospel. And another story of the Bob Hossen. He has been a Catholic priest for decades, and he had left for the following reason. He said that Catholic Church has been corrupted to its core because some reasons. First reason is that pedestalization of priests. They put the priest on the high position. And another thing is mandatory celibacy. So they want to keep the celibacy for whole life. He said that wherever power and authority are abused, children will be abused and older people are abused. So they believe that papal infallibility, which means Pope has no error. This concept of human idolatry comes as a replica, such as Kim Jong-un in the North Korea, as he has no error. So he's a dictator, but he's a demigod. So, most socialist communist idea is based on the idea of human infallibility. So, Roman Catholic doctrines can be delineated to the socialist and even communist and the Nazism so easily. So, when he investigated socialist countries or socialism-minded political parties, are Roman Catholics very friendly? Why? Because they believe that human nature is not evil, so they believe that semi-Pelagianism, that means all human nature is good, so the original sin does not contaminate them, so they can choose which is good or evil. So, but we are Reformed faith. That's based on the sola scriptura, is based on only scripture alone, is significantly differentiated by Roman Catholicism. So they thought that the church tradition, Roman Catholics thought that church tradition has more authoritative than scripture. So as we go back to the verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So first Paul, from Romans to chapter 1 to 7, describes the sinfulness of man in front of God. Man, human being, in general, cannot stand before holy God. The unquenchable wrath of God consumes the sinful man because of his holiness. So we all condemned by the law of God. So Romans chapter 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we might. But you know, because of Christ, He became sin, He died on the cross, we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Christ has become the righteousness, and we can come to God at any time. So God justifies us not based on our righteousness, but based on the righteousness of Christ. So Christ's righteousness is imputed on us by the death of atonement at the cross. So we, in the Sunday, early in the morning, we had the blessed to hear that the Pastor Stephen message today. So all of the gospel is based on Christ. So we, as you see that previous chapter, chapter 1 to 7, with the great doctrine of justification by faith. It is the fundamental backbone or epitome or recapitulation of our Christian faith. As we see from the whole book of Romans, as we talk about before this verse, especially Romans 8, chapter 8, 1, is the climax, epicenter of gospel, is the victory and claim of gospel of Christ in our lives. Martin Luther, reformer, his justifying faith becomes the reality of a Protestant Reformation for half a millennium. Our faith in Christ alone, we are set free from the slavery of sin. This is a powerful declaration of justification in Christ, claims that all believers are bonded in Christ. This is the remarkable statement. Even in the Declaration of Independence in the United States of America, the social conservatives believe that this declaration is based on the scripture. Declaration itself is meaningful for the constructing the foundation of the United States of America. But this is not at all. Not all, but we go to the next step following the justification, the sanctification. So let's read, go back to the verse 2nd. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So in these three verses we go from the justification to sanctification. So even though we celebrate the justification itself, we become... This is the justification becomes sometimes is absolute authority rather than sanctification. So we might be lose some balances. So, but if our journey of salvation stopped there, not going to further, our lives would be like a libertine or liberal person who might sin and repent again, sin again, repent again. This is a malicious cycle. So reformers, when they left Roman Catholicism, they warned that the extremity of freedom. So if we think that justification as a life insurance policy, we may live as a naive way. I am saved, so I can live whatever I want. So this verse is with justification by faith alone is go to the sanctification. So verse 5 to 6, for those who live according to flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds in the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So Apostle Paul compares two different lifestyles. One lifestyle is live according to flesh. The others live according to spirit. So when Martin Luther says that because of faith, we freely, willingly, and joyfully do good to everyone, serve everyone, suffer all kinds of things, love and praise the God who has shown such grace. Thus, it is just as impossible to separate faith and works as it is to separate heat and light from fire. So his analogy is like compare that separate faith and works like that separate heat and light from fire. So Luther's statement reminds us that the faith not only leads us to be declared righteous in God's sight, but that he also results in our sanctification, which is inward transformation we experience from the point when we are have conversion. So when we are regenerated, the justified, then the sanctification starts by the Holy Spirit. So if we classify sanctification as declarative positional sanctification, when you see that 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 to 10, but you are chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had received the mercy, once you had not received the mercy, but now you have received the mercy. Amen. As we see the justification by faith also, sanctification by faith in Christ. Let's go verse 11 of 1 Peter, chapter 2. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. You see this verse as the abstain from the passion of the flesh, which means waging war against your soul. Our souls, and even though we are justified by faith, we are in danger of destruction because of the passion of the flesh. So Gospel of Matthew chapter 16:24, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? So worldly desire in the flesh is waging war. As we know that John Bunyan's Holy Word, this book describes all our body parts, which is danger of Satan's temptation, and it's a war in our lives. The town called Mansoul is in danger of the rule of the Diabolos, in need of a savior called Emmanuel. In this novel, we saw that all the body parts called five gates, ear gate, eye gate, nose gate, and mouth gate, and fear gate, can be attacked by devil at any time. Out of five gates, ear and eyes are the most important. So Diabolos is Satan, attacked through these gates. So sanctification is the word of war. We should become a warrior to against sin. Book of Hebrews chapter 12, 4. In your struggle against, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. In Hebrews chapter 12, 1. For exercising faith like a runner for a race. So the lifelong patience to keep the endurance of faith, like Christ had endured cross and the mocking and shame, and he continues as a Apostle Paul, and he continued as a boxing match with sin. So the believer has a matching game against sin in his heart until seeing the blood that Peter tried to explain that. What a match. John Owen, Puritan John Owen said, there are double sins, inward and outwards. So we should fight against both sins. So are we faithful soldiers? So as you know that Ephesians chapter 6, that as a spiritual warfare, so they talk about the armor of God. So one day I met in the workplace, I met an African-American man. So he was a cadet who apprised a police officer. His name was Abraham. So I asked, because his name was a biblical name, I asked him, are you a Christian? He said, I am. But I do not go to church anymore. I said, why? So he said that there are so many hypocrites in the church. So he said that they are doing worse things than he thinks. So I said that there are so many other people who are not hypocrites in the church, but he found that only hypocrites in the church. So he found the reason why he's not going to church, because he found someone as a sin. If he thinks his righteousness compared to other people, he doesn't understand the doctrine of the salvation. We are saved by grace alone, not by our righteousness. So based on the other people's behavior, our absence in the church cannot be justified. So when you come to the worship place, when you come to here, we are not drawn by the master's wish. We are not dog and cat like a wish in the neck, the master dragging to the church. We are not the pets of our master. We are the children of God. God gave us the Holy Spirit. So we are voluntarily come to church. We are voluntarily come to the place, listen to the word of God. So we became obedient through the power of the Holy Spirit. 6 years ago, I was deeply in question of dispensationalism. So before about 10, 20 years ago, we are so watching lots of video or TV books about the Armageddon, the last days. So I love that reading the books about the story of the last days, the second coming of Christ, the rapture. But when I found that some mega church pastor, he said that so someday the Christ gonna coming, so people so much anxious about that when Christ comes. So I just, what kind of theology they have it? So after I found that Reformed theology, I just want to read what is the difference. And I found a book called Wrongly Dividing the Word of Truth, which is a critique of dispensationalism, written by John H. Gerstner, who is the mentor of Alcee Sproul. So at the time, I didn't know that Alcee Sproul was a pastor of the Presbyterian Church. So he gave a profound answer. After that, I changed to from premillennial to amillennialism. Why? Because I found that antinomianism tendency and dispensationalism. So why is it important this moment? Because they think that their sanctification pretty strange than reformers. They think they're like a purgatory sanctification. So they believe that carnal Christian concept. They see that some Christians can be carnal until they go to heaven, because they think they want to synchronize the old life and new life. So they can live their lives in very simple way, even though they are regenerated. So they think carnal Christian can still be saved. So they can still living in flesh. But we know that in this scripture, this is not possible. If you are saved, but justified by faith, you cannot live in flesh. You just live in spirit. So that is the idea of Roman Catholicism, the intermediate state. There's already, they left the carnal state, but they're still there. It cannot be possible. So, but this idea is very dangerous to all believers. The church becomes secularized so quickly. So even some self-proclaimed Christians can act like unbelievers and become big believers one day. It is a chaotic concept. So one day I can be unbeliever, next day I can be a believer, so they back and forth. So antinomian tendency means anti-moral law. They teach that we are saved by grace, so we do not have to keep the moral law. This comes from dispensationalism. They divide the age by seven different times, and they have distinct by the time. So when I was very young, a teenager, my brother, he was in the same church I go to. He was in college. He asked the pastor one day, "Pastor, when Jesus was at the cross, like the robber who is the asking question, who has the forgiveness to Jesus, can I live like that way? That means I can live in the world now. I can live whatever I want. And then when I'm about to die, I repent like the robber who repented his sin." So he's thinking, he keep taught by the dispensationalism. So he think himself, I can divide my time of life. So he think that I can live whatever I want, and then at the age of the old time, they come back to church. So very, very smart way, but very wicked way of thinking. But at that time, pastor couldn't answer. So the church we used to go was dispensationalist. They told us that about rapture, Jesus is going to come in, and that people are thought as they should be more passionate of their more. They thought that their life is not spiritual enough. So they think never be saved until that in the time comes. So and when they see that the last time in dying bed, so they think they can call the pastors, ask for forgiveness. This is heresy. So in this paragraph, we already see that Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in Christian life. Never go back to the previous life. This is the power of gospel. So we learn in the Sunday school, Elder John taught that irrevocable. We cannot go back. So because of the Holy Spirit never leave us, we cannot go back to the life in flesh. And this verse, we talk about one more thing, is the union with Christ. So these things is only possible through union with Christ. Gospel of John 15, chapter 15. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because the word that I have spoke to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. As you see this verse 5, Jesus said, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So without Christ, we can do nothing. They don't say nothing perfectly. We can do nothing. Just nothing. Zero. So William Perkins is the first generation Puritan. He was called the Calvin of England. As we know, Romans chapter 8, 28-30 is called Golden Chain. In his book Golden Chain, he drew the chart of Golden Chain. So he drew the one chart in the Golden Chain. The top of the chart, he drew the Triune God. So God, Father God, the God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And down there he wrote the foreknowledge of God, a decree and a predestination. And he drew that left there, left line, the elect, which is elect in Christ, the effectual calling, justification, which is remission of sin, and the imputation of righteousness, and the sanctification, which is mortification and of sins and vivification. And down there, glorification and eternal life. And the right side, he put the reprobate, it's not unelect, and goes to the final damnation. So in the bottom of the page, he put the God's glory. It's all about God's glory. So when he drew the chart of the golden chain, he drew the line of Christ's work. Mediator as Christ work as to each step to confirm that union with Christ. So union with Christ, and because Christ mediation, the work of the goes to all each part of the elect, who justification, sanctification, and glorification. Everything is in Christ. So Puritan think that so much important thing is about the union with Christ. Because without Christ, there is no salvation. Let's look at another thing about Paul himself. When Paul remind him of his conversion experience, Acts chapter 26, he said that he heard the voice of the Lord saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul keeps saying about the reason and the purpose of his calling. Verse 16, for rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the praise among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So when Christ met Paul, and he told him the priest of gospel, And justification and sanctification by union with Christ. So when you go through chapter 8 of the book of Romans, three very important doctrine of salvation. Justification, sanctification, this is grouped together, union with Christ. So I'm so glad that we are saved in Christ, and justification and sanctification. This is the power of the gospel. So this is a sin killing presence. I think I like this word, sin killing presence of the Spirit in us. So we live in this life as a pilgrim. We are justified and sanctified in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Great God, thank you so much that your Son Christ shed his blood at the cross. Because of that, we are justified. And after justification, we go through all the sanctification process. And thank you for the gospel. You told us that we need grace. We need abundant grace every day in our lives. Please help us to fight for our sins, against our sins. And we are saved every day in our lives. Please bless our church to hear the gospel, to live the gospel, and to glory God in their lives. Thank you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.